Philemon, everybody knows where that's, right before the book of Hebrews. So go open your Bibles to the book of Philemon. Philemon. You know, and this is a letter that Paul is writing to Philemon. He's penning him a letter because Paul has been ministering and has led an escaped slave, Onesimus. He has led him to the Lord. And Onesimus had escaped from Philemon and had taken some of Philemon's goods. And Onesimus was facing a death sentence for escaped, as being an escaped slave. And Paul is penning him a letter to receive him not only back as a slave, but to receive him back as a brother of Christ. And one of the things that really speaks to my heart and spoke to my heart is Paul was probably one of the best communicators that I've ever seen. You know, he communicates. He always opens his letters to the churches and to the individuals. He opens them with grace. In other words, he builds a rapport. And when he builds a rapport with the individual, he is able to persuade their mind. Because if their minds weren't open, what he had to say wouldn't have an effect. So what he does first is he builds a rapport. He persuades the mind. Then he moves upon the emotions. How many know that everyone has emotions? And then he challenges the reader to act upon what he spoke. And then he closes each letter with grace. So what I was learning from this is how to be a better communicator. Are we communicating the gospel? Or can we do better at it? Are we communicating the love of God? Or can we do a better job of it? In other words, God has given us the example in his word of how to be a good communicator. Amen? So that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you out of Philemon verse 6 that says that the communication of thy faith, that word faith in the Greek is pistis, but in this context, it means fidelity, loyalty, faithfulness. He says that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. In other words, what Paul is doing in this letter, he is challenging Philemon not just to talk, but to put action behind his words. You know, we always say that actions will speak louder than our words. Our words are important, but our actions speak louder. So today, that's what I want to speak to you this morning about, is the art of communication. How we can become a better communicator. How we can become better communicators with our spouses, with our children, with our neighbors, with people in the workplace, with people in the community. How we can be a better communicator. How many know that nobody's arrived yet? We're all learning and we're all growing together in the things of God. And God has something to say to everyone in the room. He wants to challenge you and I by his word. Not by Pastor Carl, but by the word of God. Let his word go forth. Let the Spirit speak to you through the teaching and preaching of his word today. And then when all is said and done, he'll receive the glory and the honor. It isn't about me. It's about him. Amen? Hallelujah. If you hear this during the thing, that's my wake-up step. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to thank God in a minute. So I want to talk to you today about that scripture reference that said, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. We're going to look at the communication, the effect, and the goodness. The communication, the effect, and the goodness. Are you ready? Let's lift the word together in the house. Can we make a declaration in the house of God today? Can you lift your word with me? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me. I'm listening. My ears are open and my heart is receptive. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do this day. So, Father, I pray, Father God, that you speak through this vessel. Father God, speak through me today. May the words that go forth, may they accomplish everything that you sent them to do. May the words that are spoken in the house today edify, encourage, and to comfort each hearer, Father God. And we praise you and give you glory for the opportunity we have to gather together so freely, Father God. Where there's many in the world today that would be martyred for gathering together in the name of Jesus, we can come together freely. So, Father, you have freely given. Now, today, may we freely receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. 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 The art of communication. How many remember the old cans when you were kids? Everybody had that telephone communication, that communicator? You know, there's different means and there's different modes and there's different methods of communication that we have. You know, the modern age that we live in, you know, we have the internet, we have cell phones, we have the news, we have magazines, we have telephones. There's all kinds of the letters. We have all kinds of means and modes and methods to communicate. But one of the things that the Lord was challenging me on is how good of a communicator are we in those methods and modes and means? In other words, when I'm on Facebook, am I glorifying and I'm sharing, am I sharing the love of God? Am I being a good communicator to others? Or am I talking about everything that's wrong, somebody did me wrong? Hello? I bet you everybody in the house has somebody did me wrong song. Amen? But God wants us to be good communicators. There's enough death and dire and cursing in the world. We don't have to join in to the party. Amen? Amen? You know, in other words, the Lord says to us, if we don't have anything good to say, it's better if we don't say anything. You know, if we don't have something that's going to build someone up or going to encourage somebody, you know, we can look at what's wrong with everybody. There's something wrong with everybody. And we can sit and look at the things that are wrong with somebody or their downfalls or their shortcomings, or we can get focused on all those things. Or we could say something to help build them up. Maybe if I spoke some words of edification and encouragement, maybe they would be able to step out of that mire that they're in. Sometimes there's power in your words, you know. I saw that word power when I was at the park yesterday. And the Lord just gives me a cross stick, and I was looking at that power. Power of words establish reality. Power of our words establish reality. Things become what we speak into existence. Yeah. Amen. All of a sudden, it's the power of words establish reality. Amen? So in other words, if what comes out of our mouth is going to establish something, don't you think that we ought to be speaking something that's going to bring life instead of death? Don't you think we ought to be speaking something that's going to bring good instead of bad? So don't you think we ought to bring something that's going to bring joy versus sadness? Don't you think that the words that come out of our mouth should be encouraging to one another? Well, this is a hard world we live in. You know, when you're going through the storms and the tests in life, we need brothers and sisters that have our arms, that are lifting us up, not tearing us down. Amen? Amen. We're not in a tearing down business. You know, God never called us and the demolition business. He's called us into the building business. The demolition business is Satan. Satan's come to kill, steal, and destroy, but God has called us to build things. Amen. He never talks about tearing things down. He always talks about build upon a solid foundation. He talks about building, not tearing down. So as children of God, that's what he wants you and I to communicate. Amen. He wants us to communicate. He wants us to say some good things. You know, when Brother Bill yesterday in the men's meeting, if you miss it, man, you need to come next month. It's the third Saturday of the month. We had a great time. I mean, Quentin made them so much food. He had sausage and bacon and fried bologna and eggs and mixed with peppers and onions and mushrooms. And then they had sausage gravy and biscuits, and they had all of the fixings. And after they had the Bible study, everybody just rolled out of there. Now, actually, I was really amazed because they weren't a bunch of gluttons. It was a good time. But one of the things that came out yesterday, the Brother Bill used 1 Corinthians 15:33. Where the Word of God says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. In other words, when evil comes to you, evil communication, it corrupts your manners. You keep hanging around people that are cursing and abusing and nasty, that stuff gets inside of you. And your evil communication corrupts someone else's manners. So when I was looking at that and I thought about that, the Lord took me to Ephesians chapter 4, so let's go there. Ephesians 4. Remember what we're talking about, the communication of our faith, our fidelity, our loyalty, our faithfulness. So what are we communicating? We're talking about the communicating. He says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, he said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In other words, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is edifying, that which is going to build up another, having it seasoned with grace. Like Paul was writing his letter. See, he's going to deal with subjects all the way through his teaching and his letters that he's writing. But when he starts with grace, and then he starts speaking at them and building a rapport with the people, all of a sudden they're not offended at the word. You know, I can't say one thing to someone and not build a rapport for them and expect them to receive the words I'm speaking. And in other words, if my words aren't seasoned with love, they're just a bunch of noise. It's just a bunch of chatter. In other words, so Paul was saying, hey, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is edifying to the body, edifying to the hearer, that it may minister grace to them. Grace. Unmerited favor. Nothing. And then he says right there, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. So what is he saying? If corrupt communication is coming out of your mouth, you're grieving the Spirit of God. You can't grieve the Spirit of God in one moment and expect the Spirit of God to do something for you the next. In other words, what Paul was saying, hey, if we're going to season our words, we're going to season our words. We talked about this morning and our bowels and being raised up in Colossians 3 and letting that word be inside of us. And that fruit coming out, and that's what's going to come out of our mouths, that grace. What are we talking about? We're talking about our communication. What are we communicating? How are people receiving us, and how are people seeing us in the community? How is our family seeing us? How is our unsaved family members seeing you and I? Are they seeing us as judgmental? Are they seeing us as condemning? Are they seeing us as critical? Or are they seeing us as children that love God and love people? You know, God says, God loves the sinner. He hates the sin. He loves the sinner. He hates the sin. So God wants us to look at man in God's eyes and to speak to them through the voice of the Lord. You know, and in other words, we're not condoning the sin, but what we're saying is God loves you. Amen. Love is what's going to cover a multitude of sins. Amen. Love is what's going to change some hearts and minds. And how can I operate in that love? Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3:16. That says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Amen. Let the word of the Lord dwell in you richly. Amen. In other words, if we're allowing God's word not just to be here, but allowing it to take that 18-inch journey to our heart. Not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge. Because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth's going to speak. It ain't going to speak out of the abundance of your mind. It isn't going to speak in the abundance of your head. It's going to be what's inside. Whatever's inside is going to come out. So Paul is saying, hey, we're not going to let corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. But at the same time, how am I going to be able to do that? Because I got to fill myself with the word of God that dwells in me richly in all wisdom. Because all wisdom is from God. Amen? Amen? God wants us to be wise. He says he'll give us all wisdom. Amen? We have the mind of Christ. Amen? We're walking men and women of God. That's why he says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they not be high-minded, nor trusted in certain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay a hold of eternal life. In other words, what Paul is saying, it is not just that the corrupt communication doesn't come out of your mouth. How can I do that? By filling myself with the word of God richly, growing in the wisdom of God. And now when I'm not doing that, then the fruit of the Spirit is evident. Then I'm ready to communicate. I'm ready to do good things for others. You know, I'm not rendering evil for evil. I'm blessing them that persecute me and despitefully use me for his name's sake, for great is my reward. I'm not in a battle with people. My battle is not with people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle is not with people. It is not with people. So what is God saying to us? Hey, he wants to teach us to be good communicators. And I'm telling you something. God was just showing me something. If you would just go through the Bible and start reading the letters that Paul wrote, you start with the way he opens them up in grace, and how he moves and builds a rapport with the reader. Then all of a sudden, he persuades the mind. He speaks to their intelligence. Then he moves upon their emotions. And then he closes the deal. Amen. And it's like he came in and did something in my life, and I didn't even see it happen. Most of the people that we're going to minister to for the kingdom of God are not wanting anything from the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit will work at them and work on them. And as the Holy Spirit's at work, we're entering into where the Holy Spirit is already working. So God wants us to be good communicators. Paul said, I'm not eloquent in speech. It doesn't mean that you have to be an orator to be a communicator. All God wants you to be is you. And as you are you, all you're doing is you're ministering in grace, you're building rapport, you're speaking the truth, you're moving upon their hearts, and you let God do the work. Amen? And you don't get mad at them because they don't do what you were hoping they would do. It's God that does the work in their hearts and lives, not you and I. Amen? The problem with us is we want everything now. We have a microwave mindset. We want to see everything right now. We put something in the microwave and we get aggravated because we had to wait for 3 minutes. And that's just our mentality. That's what we expect. We expect everything now. But we believe God, according to his word, that he's always at work. He's always at work. And when the Lord lays something on your heart, just let your words be seasoned with grace. Amen. You like to be encouraged, don't you? You like for Greg to tell you how beautiful you are, aren't you? You like to hear him say he can't live without you. You want to hear him say that you're the best thing that ever was made, right? Amen? 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 Amen. Amen. A honey will take you a long way. Hello? My honey don't like lemon. She likes honey. Now, I come with her like a lemon all sour, I don't get very much. But when I come with honey, isn't that the way we were created? Do you think God knows how he created us and what we need? Don't you think he knows what pleases us and what will open our hearts up? And for years I was in the sales industry. And one of the things that I trained and taught salespeople to do, because I was a motivator and I was a project director, I was a leader, I was a sales manager, most of the things or in the business, and I would motivate other people. But one of the things I to motivate anyone or to sell anything or get anything across, I had to build a rapport with them to open them up to hear what I had to say. Because if their minds weren't open, everything I said didn't mean nothing. So that's why if you're reading the Word of God and God's speaking to you, as you're reading the Word of God and you're reading these letters that Paul wrote, they're just opening your heart as you read it. Wow, look at that. Just look at that Philemon one moment. Look how he says to Philemon, hey, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, man, I thank God making mention of you always in my prayer. Man, I hear about everything that you're doing, your love and your faith, and the way your love towards the Lord, and your faith towards and helping other people. And all of a sudden, he starts building this man up. He isn't tearing him down. He's building him up so he can speak to the situation and the circumstance that is coming. And that's what God is saying to you and I. We need to encourage one another. We need to build one another up. And as we're communicating and the things, then we can deal with the subjects. Like what the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So as we're looking at that, but you have to have the opportunity to speak that. If you don't, if you just go ahead and speak it and you haven't opened up their hearts and minds, you can go back and speak to the wall. Hello? Why do you think, for example, when we gather in this atmosphere, why do you think we praise and we worship God before we ever bring the word? To get your hearts open and receptive to what the Lord has to say. Amen? Amen. He says, enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Enter his courts with praise. Amen. So as we're coming into that place, we're just being, open ourselves up to receive what God is saying to us. What is he saying to us today? To begin with, first, how are we doing on our communication? He said that the communication of your faith may become effectual. Or what effect is your communication having on others? How are you affecting others for the kingdom of God? He is challenging, now he's challenging Philemon. He is challenging that your faith has an effect. In other words, what is your actions going to do? He's challenging Philemon. And Philemon's going to follow through and he's going to receive Onesimus. He's going to receive him back as a brother. But he's challenging him. He's speaking because if that word didn't come, because I believe God orchestrates everything, Onesimus would have probably been put to death and the call of God would have been messed up on his life because God had a call on Onesimus' life too. God has a call on everyone's life. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. God has a plan in every life. Amen. So no matter who we're ministering to, who we're talking to, God has a plan in their lives. And he didn't quit on you, and he doesn't want to quit on them either. Amen. So we're talking about the effect. And James 2. James puts it simple in verse 17. He says, even so, faith, we're talking about fidelity, loyalty, faithfulness. Even though faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, if a man say, thou have faith and have not works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. In other words, what Paul was challenging Philemon with and communicating to Philemon is that the communication of his faith may become effectual. Amen? In other words, that it would have an effect, that his actions were going to speak louder than the words. Amen? So and actions, we're speaking here of acts of love. It's going to take Philemon's love. He's going to have to act on God's love. Because he was raised that escaped slaves and people that robbed from you, you're supposed to put them to death. But he's got to allow the Holy Spirit and allow God to change his heart and his life. Amen? And according to God's plan. So this was taking, there was a miracle that was taking place here. And it was such a great miracle that God thought it was so important to include it in the canon of the word. This is a short one-page letter that the Lord thought was so valuable for you and I to see as men and women of God, and how important it is for us to receive one another as brothers of Christ and sisters of Christ, no matter where they've been or no matter what they've done. That they're a new creation in Christ Jesus. That old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Amen? So many times, people are trying to hold others in their past instead of recognizing them and who they are now and where God's taking them to. I can't do anything about what happened before, but I can do everything about today. Amen? And the way that I treat and react to others is so valuable and so important. In Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 5:14, the word of God says, let your light so shine. It says, you are the light of the world. In verse 14, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen? In other words, what he's saying here is, hey, by our works, by our works, by our works, by our acts of love, by our acts of kindness, people are going to see God being manifested. In 1 Peter chapter 2, are we here? Do you hear? Are you listening? What are we talking about? We're talking about the communication of our faith. That our faith will have an effect on others. Not only by the words that we speak, which we're speaking words to edify, to encourage, to build up, but by our actions that we take. And Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that as whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which thou shalt behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You know, sometimes when you're doing something good for somebody, you say, well, they don't deserve it. It isn't about them deserving it. But one day, later, one day sometime, the Holy Spirit's going to come to them. He's going to bring it to remembrance what you did. And he's going to glorify God in the day of God's visitation in his life. So we're not just doing good things for people because they deserve for us to do good things. We're doing good things for people because that's what God says, that we're to do good things. Amen? There's enough bad things in the world. You know, if the church would arise and the church would be what God called it to be, there wouldn't be any need in this world. Because God's given it all to the church. Amen? And the church just won't rise up and take their position. Because we become so critical, so judgmental. We see something we don't like or whatever, and we take a hike. Don't like? Take a hike. You know, maybe God was calling you to make a difference. Amen? Amen? Praise God. And that's all Paul's saying to the Father. Hey, let the communication of faith be effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. I want to say this to you. It speaks of love. It speaks of love. There's three kinds of love that God wants you and I to have. Right? One, love for the Father. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. Second, love for others. And love your neighbors as yourself. Third, yourself. You got to love you some me. If you can't love you some me, you can't love someone else. Hello? Now, I don't go falling in love with me. But I know that God created me in his image. Amen? And sometimes I might just need to do a little... I hug myself. The adversary so many times tries to keep us in our past and tries to make you feel that you're not worthy. And when you feel like you're not worthy, you can't love yourself. And if you can't love yourself, you really can't love others. God says, if you can't love the one you see, how can you say you love me in whom you can't? Now, when I get up in the morning, the first thing I do is I go to the sink. I brush my teeth. That's my first thing I do. And I look at myself in the mirror. Now, it'll be patting and hugging or whatever. But I thank God. I thank God that he created me. Amen? I thank God that he created me because I'm valuable and I'm important to this world. I'm valuable and important to my wife. I'm valuable and important to my children. I'm valuable and I'm important to my grandchildren. I'm valuable and I'm important to this community. I'm valuable and I'm important to the kingdom of God and to the body of Christ. God wants you to know you have value. And when you look at yourself in the morning, you need to remind yourself that you're a valuable commodity. That God can't do it without you. Because if you will not step into your position, your place, somebody's going to miss something. Somewhere. Amen? Because God called all of us. When we gather together in this house, it takes all of our faith coming together before God does anything. Amen? You brought something in the house with you when you came in today. You may have even brought some junk in with you. That's okay. That comes in the house too. But you brought a measure of faith, and everyone has a measure. Amen? Praise God. I'm confident, Brother Bill, he's a better preacher than I am. Hallelujah. So what is God saying to you and I in closing today? He's saying simply this. Paul showed us the art of communication. How's our communicating? Are we communicating? Are we building others up? Are we encouraging others? Are we comforting others? The Bible says if one in the body suffers, we all suffer. If one rejoices, we all rejoice. You know, there's a lady that's going through a storm in her life right now, but God's already taken care of her. Your cancer is healed in the name of Jesus. And you've got to declare it and proclaim it every day. You tell that devil he's a liar and he needs to get behind you. Jesus said it was done, it was finished, and it belongs to me and it's mine. Shut up, devil. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the radiologist says. I don't care what any of them say. I'm telling you what God says. Let God arise and let the enemy be scattered out of this house today. But what I was saying is, hey, they're selling some cupcakes outside for her to help her with their expenses. Whether you want a cupcake or not, buy one. If nothing else, just give them some money. Hello? God wants you to know when you go through something, you're not going through it alone. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's as close as the call of his name. But he's called men and women of God to be beside you to speak life. Life in the abundance thereof. No matter what the adversary says, greater is he. He is God and he will not lie. He is not a son of man that he needs to repent. God says it and he'll do everything he said he would do. We need to get into our heart, to our mind. We need not to be stopped being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind, knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It breaks my heart to see the adversary get so much space in people's lives. We give them too much room. Jesus did everything he needed to do on the cross of Calvary, and he doesn't have to do anything else. We don't have to go looking for him to do it either. He's already inside of you. It already belongs to you. You have the title and you have the deed, and it belongs to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember, he's coming to rob you. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to divide your home. You know why? A house divided cannot stand. Why do you think he wants to sow tares all the time amongst the body of Christ? Why do you think he wants to come in and divide us? Because we can't stand. We need each other. You know what? I need you. I need every last one of you. I need you. God needs you, and you need him. He needs you, and you need him. Isn't it wonderful to be needed? Isn't it wonderful to be valued? Isn't it wonderful that God has a plan that he will not change his heart and his mind? Hallelujah. So in closing, again, I said closing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. God is saying to us today, he wants you and I to be better communicators, to communicate the effect and just show and share the goodness of God. Bow your heads and let us pray.